shit. Well, look, we're going to get started because I know that people are really excited about tonight's show. First of all, I just want to welcome everybody back to Late Night with Lox, Tuesday edition. Tonight, we've got two guys that I've had a privilege to coach, be a part of the recruiting process. And it's always great to catch up with these former Terps that are just doing big things in the pros. First of all, I want to thank our viewers always for all the love. You guys have continued to show the Late Night with Lox series. I got to tell you, I think we're coming to a close. I want to say we got 3 episodes left. One this Friday and 2 next week. And then I think we're going off the air. As I'm hoping that we get good news and we can start preparing. But until then, again, I want to thank Cal Ripken Jr. Thank you so much, Cal, for coming on. Honestly, for me, it was a dream come true to have an icon, a person who represents the DMV, represents what this area is all about. You brought so much excitement to Baltimore for so long, and for me, it was fanboy night to be able to have Cal Ripken Jr. on. And again, I want to thank T. Lou, Terrell Lewis, and best of luck to you, another DMV high school baller that I had an opportunity to work with. Was drafted in the 3rd round by the Rams. We want to continue to wish you good health and good luck as you move out to the West Coast, man, and really proud of what you guys are accomplishing. Again, if you missed Late Night with Lox or any of the episodes, I get a few text messages from people. You can always catch it on the 3 different platforms. I know NBC Sports Washington, replays, highlights. I know that our Maryland Athletics YouTube page also reruns these, as well as the Hear the Turtle podcast. They also, so all 3 platforms, you can catch the reruns of the Late Night with Lox. And again, we always want to continue to thank our frontline workers for everything you guys continue to do as we continue to work through the pandemic. We're going to bring on some big-time Terps, guys that really made a tremendous amount of, they brought so much to our football program, and both these guys have really taken it to a whole nother level at the professional level. 2 big-time guys, one was a first-round draft pick, the other a second. So to get started, let's bring on a guy that, again, I had a chance to coach here. With our first guest, a D.C. native, played at the Murray High School. He joined the Terps in 2012, took the field as a starter from day one, had played both safety and corner for us. Over the course of his career here at Maryland, had 319 tackles, 5 interceptions. He was the 3rd safety draft in the 2016 NFL draft. In the 2nd round by the Pittsburgh Steelers, and now is representing the hometown team, the Washington Redskins. Let's bring on my guy, Sean Davis, and catch up with Sean. What's up, Big Sean?
Yo, what's up, Coach?
Man, Instagram Live, look at you.
Ah, crazy.
Welcome to the Night with Lox, man.
Appreciate it.
I know it's hard to get you on. I'm going to have to tell the people I had to cut a deal to get Sean on.
Oh, for sure. I don't do social media no more.
I'm glad, man. Yeah. I'm glad you're doing it for me.
It's all good, for sure.
It's always great to catch up with former Terps, man. Unfortunately, you guys are hard. A lot of y'all don't like media. Both the 2 guests that I have tonight are guys that despise doing this type of stuff. So for them to come on the show and spend a few minutes with me, man, means the world to me, because I know these guys aren't big on all the social media like a lot of other people tend to be about. So, first of all, man, what's been going on with you during the quarantine? I know you've had a few big things happen in your life. Let's talk a little bit about what's been happening in your life during the quarantine period.
Yeah, quarantine life, it gets boring, gets repetitive. You know, you got to test your discipline, you know, because it's easy to just bum it, stay in the house, you know, watch TV. Nothing's open. You can't go outside. You can't go to the parks. I'm in New Jersey, so it's still pretty bad out here. So yeah, just test your discipline. You know, I'm out here running on the streets and, you know, just doing everything that I can just until things start to open up again, because you know, when it's time to be ready, you know, I gotta be ready.
No doubt, man. And back home, playing in front of the hometown crowd with our Washington Redskins. Now, I gotta ask, were you one of those guys that grew up in this area that rooted for the Cowboys, or were you hometown team all the way?
Oh nah, I was Redskins all the way.
That's all I
need to
hear.
Yeah,
you and I both know this area consists of some weird
It's crazy.
Weird kind of fan, fan stuff, like guys that grew up here rooting for the Cowboys.
Cowboys is nuts. You know,
guys living in this area going to play at like Alabama and stuff like that. Like it's, we're a little different, but I think we're changing it around a little bit. And so you come back to the Redskins this year after spending what the last 4 years with the Steelers, man. Talk a little bit about what your transition was like, man. I got a chance to see you make the high school transition to the college game, and I can remember day one versus William and Mary. Little Sean Davis out there roaming Bird Stadium. And
yeah.
How was that transition for him? What for you? And what has it been like, you know, the 4 years with Pittsburgh before heading to the Redskins? What's it been like for you?
Yeah, the transition, it was kind of hard. You know, everything is, you know, we think D1 college football is super fast, but then, you know, there's a whole another intensity level that, you know, you had to tap into. Just adjusting to the speed of the game, the D linemen, they run in 4.4s, 4.5s. Everyone's just as fast as you. But honestly, man, I think coming from Maryland, humble beginnings, coming from PG County, it just taught us, you know, to always keep our head down and just grind. So it kind of, the mental aspect was a little easier for me, you know, transitioning from college to a professional. But just picking up on the speed of the game and how everyone moves so fast, that's really one of the hardest transitions. From collegiate to professional, for sure.
Now, as we segue from, you know, transitioning from Maryland to Pittsburgh, what has the homecoming been like? I mean, I know you haven't had a lot of time because by the time you end up signing, I think that's right around the time the pandemic kind of started.
Right.
Tell me about what it feels like coming home and to have the opportunity to once again play in front of your family. And I know what a tight-knit group the Davises are. You know, dad, mom, sister, Isaiah, everybody, and extended family as well. How excited are you about being able to do that again, playing?
It's love. It's kind of like doing college all over again. You know, I got a foundation at the house, so I got a foundation there. So it kind of made the decision easier, you know, when it's time to pick which teams I wanted to play for. But yeah, I'm just really excited. You know, it's added pressure. More added pressure because, you know, I'm going to have everybody texting me and watching me and you know, critiquing me and everything. So, but I need that. You know, I think that's a hidden gem, and it's only going to bring the best out of me. And I'm just looking forward to, you know, putting on that burgundy and gold.
Right. And you're doing it with a bunch of other guys that are from this area. Like, I look at the Redskins and how they're building their roster, man. And you bring Kendall back home. You've got John Allen already there, who I've worked with at Alabama. We got you. I mean, you guys will have like 6 or 7 people from this area that are part of the Redskin organization.
Yeah,
Dobby. Haskins. Talk a little bit about what that will be like for you, because it's almost like it's a DMV All-Star team that's over there.
Kind of, sort of, right?
To build the Redskins. And when I look at it, I'm just thinking, man, just 5, 6 years ago, all these guys we were recruiting to try to bring them here to Maryland, and now you guys are all on one team in Washington. What's the expectation you have? Obviously, new head coach, new culture. What are you looking to bring to the table, or what are you guys looking to bring to the table to try to, again, much like what we're trying to do here at Maryland, get this thing going in the right direction over there with the Skins? What's your mindset like?
Right. So, you know, my mindset, I kind of been out of football for a little bit. You know, I was sidelined last year, so, you know, I'm very, I don't want to say eager, but I'm, you know, get back on the field and to put on, because, you know, when you miss it for so long, it hurts, you know, I know I'm healthy and I'm ready to get back. And same with, like you said, we got a whole bunch of people, Ron, Dwayne, Ron. So, you know, we're all looking forward to put on for the hometown, you know. It's going to be like little mini Super Bowls every week.
I sure wish we would have been able to do that here at Maryland, man.
Yeah, I mean, nobody wanted to stay.
Move out of here for a few years, man.
Yeah, nobody wanted to stay.
Well, we're getting them to do that now, then.
No, for sure.
Because of guys like you and the foundation you laid. As we talk a little bit about your Maryland career, and I always ask the former Terps this, man, what's your favorite Maryland moment? What, during your time here as a football player, what game, what situation, what incident, what defines your Maryland experience?
I might get some heat from this, but it was that Penn State game when we went up there and didn't shake hands, and it was nuts in the beginning. They was, you know, dissing us, disrespecting our side of the field. And then we did that and it came up with a dub. It was awesome. Because I think that was our inaugural Big Ten season. That was our first time playing in the Big Ten. Yeah, and that was cool too.
I don't understand why you guys didn't shake hands. I just don't understand what goes into that.
I can't remember. But it's definitely a memorable moment for sure.
Well, I tell you what, that game stood out. And also, again, I remember the Baltimore game when we played them over in Baltimore, and it kind of became a shootout. On offense that day, we kept turning it over. And I don't know if you remember, that was my first interim head coaching
my
game.
My senior year, yeah.
If you recall, I made us play cover zero and blitz almost like every single down. Let's say, Saquon Barkley ain't going to beat us tonight.
Yeah.
They're going to beat us. Hackenberg going to have to beat us throwing the ball. And we made some plays on both sides, but unfortunately, they made a few more than us that day. But, those Penn State battles, obviously, man, we've got some work to do. But to hear about the 2014 game, that stands out to you, huh?
Yeah, for sure.
Got you, man. So, again, as you prepare for your fifth year in the NFL?
Fifth, yeah.
Fifth year. You're coming off the injury. You say you feel like you're in great. You feel really good about yourself coming off the injury. You're 100%?
100%.
Man.
Yeah, ready to go. Full steam ahead.
Now, you did have something really special happen in your life. How did you get your wedding in before the pandemic? How did you get that done?
Yeah, so that was crazy, Coach. Like I said, we was in New Jersey, and New Jersey got hit really hard. So it's just the days getting closer to the wedding. The countdown was getting there, and then we just keep watching the news, and it's gatherings can't be more than 50, gatherings can't be more than 20. So we just not panicking, but just trying to figure out what we going to do because we got a lot of people calling us. Saying, we can't, flights is not, they're not gonna let us fly in, we can't come, I'm so sorry. We did the best we could do with the cause we was dealt with. We still had, the flowers, we couldn't cancel the flowers because, there's live flowers, they came in like a week before everything was canceled. So probably about five days before the big day, we getting the venues calling us, the hotels, we can't do it, da da da, we can't do it. So, the guest list went from about 220 to about 12 people. So, we had about 12 people come. We still had the officiant. It was still legit. We had the live flowers in the background. We made it real pretty. My wife's mother did a real good job, making the outside. It was a beautiful day. The sun was out. It was a beautiful day. And we made the best, of the situation. And, shoot, I'd have got married online, man. I've been with my girl for forever, for 5 years.
Former Turk, right?
Well, her brother.
Okay.
Yeah. They got Maryland everything in their house in New Jersey, but it was cool. It's definitely we're not gonna forget memory for a lifetime. But we all gonna celebrate next year for like a little 1 year anniversary because the venue has my money and they're not giving it back. So we gonna celebrate. Celebrate for sure.
So they letting you push it back for a year.
We gonna push it back a year, yeah.
Man, well, I tell you what, I was shocked because I looked up and I saw that you got the wedding, and I was like, man, how was he able to do that?
Oh yeah, it was a planned backyard wedding. Yeah.
Hey,
love is love for sure.
Love is love, man. You get married online like you said, and it's great.
Did
to
it.
See. I know you guys have been together a long time, and I know huge Turk fans, always big Sean Davis fans, man, and again, knowing your family and the job that your mom and dad have done with you guys and Isaiah, man. Well, look, I told you I was going to only keep you for 15 minutes. I lied. It's 16 minutes. I'm still going to take care of you. Now that you're home, when this thing opens up,
I'm in there.
Our casa is your casa, man.
Yeah, I'm in there. Thanks, Coach.
Stranger, Bob Pod, massages. We got a new locker room and a new facility for pros that when they come back to train, you got a locker so you can put your stuff in,
use
the weight room. All that stuff is going to be ready, man, for you guys. And again, we want to, you guys, this is your program. So we're excited to have you back in town. Excited for, next season for you with our Redskins, man. And let's get this thing done, both of us.
Man, sound like a plan, Coach. Appreciate
you. Good having you. Appreciate you coming on. I know you hate doing this stuff, man, but it's good seeing you. We'll catch up soon, Sean.
All right, Coach, you the man.
All right, dog.
Peace.
Sean Davis, man. New Redskin, joining us here back home in the DMV, Coach Ron Rivera and his staff. They're getting a guy that's going to always lay it on the line for them. Our next guest really doesn't need a lot of introduction. He is a guy. He's our first guest, our second guest for the day, but a Philly native that, along with, our tight ends coach did a great job recruiting him. We all kind of helped bring guys here. Was a big-time receiver in high school out of Imhotep Charter School there in Philly. He totaled over 2,000 yards receiving in his three seasons, including a school record 80 catches in his junior season. Was a first-team All-Big Ten receiver, as well as the Richter Howard Receiver of the Year Award for the Big Ten in 2017. I had a chance, and I tell this story all the time, and I tell it in a manner to show you. You know, I was coaching at another place and had a receiver that thought he would be the first receiver picked in the draft at that time. And as I waited with that receiver that I was coaching, Calvin Ridley, four slots before he got picked, DJ Moore from Maryland had his name called for the being the first receiver off the board in the 2018 draft by the Carolina Panthers, made the all-rookie team, and just continues to do great things. Let's welcome DJ Moore. DJ, you there? There he is. Wow, DJ Moore.
What's up, Coach?
Now, look who made it to late night with Locke, man.
Yeah, it was like pulling teeth with me. I already know.
I know. You hate doing this stuff.
Yeah.
A man of very few words, so I'm going to have to carry this whole 15-minute conversation. I know one thing that makes you really, really excited is when we talk about your daughter. How's she doing? How's the baby doing? There she is. I knew she would be close by. Man, look at her.
She acts just like me. It's crazy.
That means she smiles a lot and doesn't say a lot.
She smiles and talk, but only to certain people.
Yeah, she's a silent assassin. I remember when old number one showed up in College Park, and I could barely get him to say two words, but he made big catches for us from the time we kicked that thing off as a freshman, man. Let's talk a little bit about the pandemic, how you guys are holding up. You're down in North Carolina with the family, obviously. How are you guys holding up, and what have you been doing during this to stay busy and to stay in shape?
For about a month, we had my mom and sister here because they was scared of the pandemic, but they was here helping, especially Cookie. And so once that happened,
Your aunt didn't come down with her?
Nah, she didn't come down, but she sent some cookies down for me.
All right,
it was cool. So, but this whole pandemic situation, I've been able to work out in my garage and out back, and then just been playing with my nephews, my nieces. I mean, not my nieces, but my daughter.
So you just staying busy with the kids and have family in town.
Yeah.
Been able to sneak away to do any type of training, running routes, sharpening your tools. Like, what things are you doing from that standpoint?
That standpoint, I go out Wednesday and Friday to throw the quarterback. I've been doing that since the pandemic started. Strength training. I go into the facility. We could go into the facility whenever we want to, as long as you was on the list before the pandemic happened.
Right. Got it, man. It seems like, you know, going into year three as a pro. And talk a little bit about what the transition was like. We had Sean Davis on here. Talk a little bit about what your transition was like. You had some big shoes to fill. I saw the little story about Steve Smith bothering you a little bit with that the fantasy football video that went viral. Talk a little bit about how your transition of going from Maryland to the NFL was like and where you are now as you go into year three.
First, going into the league, it was kind of weird, but going in not knowing – where you gonna play at? The whole draft process was scary, but once I got picked at Carolina, it was a relief, but then I knew that the real work began, and I didn't know that all this work was about to begin when I got there. The playbook was about thicker than ours, our first playbook with y'all, so I was like, man. And then I had to learn every spot as fast as possible. But that took me about, like, it took me to, like, game 4 or 5 to actually understand the whole playbook and understand game plans. So it was kind of rough, but it was worth it in the end.
Yeah, I mean, you ended up making all-rookie as a your first-year player. You made the all-rookie team. So obviously you did some things right, man. You know, as far as, going into year 3, I mean, you guys got a new head coach. You're transitioning to a new system, which if you look at the system that Joe Brady was a part of running at LSU, put up some historical numbers last year with the LSU offense. How much of that have you guys started working on? Have you had a chance to kind of get a feel for the new system? Because it seems like it's very receiver-friendly if you look at the amount of plays those guys at LSU made last year.
Yeah, it's very receiver-friendly. We installing a lot right now, even though we over the computer. So they still got the mindset it's like OTAs or whether we in mini camp, but we still learning everything like on the fly. Like you got to know it that day. They'll review. We'll have a test. So it's like normal, but it's just over the computer. The offense is real receiver friendly. I didn't know that until like because I never watched like LSU football until they went on the big stage. But looking at them, I was smiling ear to ear.
Yeah, they put up a lot of numbers, and the ball was spread around. I don't know if you remember the touch chart I used to have where I would keep chart on making sure we spread the ball around. That's one of the things, as I watched the LSU system last year, that I thought was ingenious because it seemed like the tight end, all three receivers were making plays, the running back. I mean, a lot of people got a chance to touch the ball, man. And, you know, talk a little bit about, you know, your transitioning – from playing with a guy like Cam Newton the first two years of your career to now transitioning to Teddy Bridgewater. Have you had any conversations with Teddy, or have you gone down to throw with him in Florida yet, or when are y'all getting together to hook up? Because timing is really, really important for quarterbacks and receivers.
Yeah, and this offense, it definitely is. But speaking of Cam, going into my first year with Cam, it was kind of – like, people would think that he was, like, a jokester and, like, all this other stuff because the way he dressed and everything. But Cam was, like, a real down-to-earth player. Like, he was in there early, left late. He was on top of everything, even though the way my man dressed was a little funny. But he always was on time, and, like, he always came to work. Them 2 years, it just showed, like, you don't even have to worry about the outside world. You just got to worry about yourself and your job. And talking to Teddy is just the same thing, like, but he just don't dress like Cam. But he still got the same mindset of working hard, being on the same page, and just being there for the team and being accountable when the time comes.
Well, that quarterback-receiver relationship is really, really important. I know you guys will be trying to get together really soon to get that timing down. You know, what have you guys heard? What have you heard recently about the return? Have they talked to you guys at all about when you guys may be able to start getting together via, you know, OTAs or voluntary training? Any of that talk has started for you guys in the league yet?
No. They just talked about reopening of facilities right now. That happened last week. I think they announced it. So that's the only thing that's been talked about. I did see some. My agent sent me some on Twitter. They don't know how they're gonna get everybody to be in the building at once without it being a problem. But I hope one day we could get back in there and start training, because this sitting at home stuff is getting old.
Right. Now, you were one of the guys, and this has been obviously an issue here for us as a program. You played for 3 different head coaches. I mean, when you count. You came in with Coach Etzel. Mm-hmm. I took over as the interim, and DJ came in. How were you able to, I mean, and no matter who the coach was, no matter what the system was, you still found a way to make plays, to stay really grounded, to really get the job done. Talk a little bit about how that experience was for you, and how maybe that prepared you even to have success at the next level.
Going in, I didn't really think nobody was going to get fired when I was there. And then to have the coaching changes, it was like, oh, it's the business. So once I got that mindset, like once Esu got fired, it was like, dang, it's just the business, because we was on a downward slope. But when you came in, it was like, all right, you still got to have fun with it, even though we're going out here to play the game. So once that happened, I just looked at it like, hey, man, this the business. I'm going to grow with the business. So once I got here, once I got to the league, and we had this little change in coaches, it was like, man, it's just all about the business. They can't break what I'm doing. So until that day comes, I'm going to keep going.
Control the things you can control, right?
Yeah, so I'm always still going to keep a smile on my face and just keep being me.
I know where that smile comes from, because there's this lady that, as much as I bother you by sending you text messages, there's this lady that she either likes everything I text or send from my social media. Still a huge Maryland fan. Her name is Cookie Ridley.
She's on here.
Cookie Ridley, shout out to you, Cookie. You can still come to Maryland game. You're still welcome here. So moms is in the house for late night with Locks because their baby's on here.
Right.
You know this. I know where there was DJ, there was Cookie. And now you got the baby girl there beside you. You got everything you need. And that, you got a lot to smile about.
Yeah, them two is my biggest supporter. So wherever I am, they going to be. So
good. Well, look, man, I appreciate you coming on. I keep telling people, like, they say, well, why don't you have more Maryland people on? I mean, Darnell Savage hates doing media. DJ hates doing media. Sean Davis don't even have social media. But I have to have you guys on because, man, we're doing some really big things here. We're laying the foundation. You know, we're going to always be able to go get players.
Right.
You know, it takes a little minute for this system to get put in place. We've got, you know, we're taking care of little piece by piece as we put this puzzle together. And you guys are going to have something to be proud of when you rep your college team again. We're going to put together a program that you can be really proud of, and know that guys like you and Sean laid this foundation for us, man. And we're going to build this thing the right way. And we appreciate your effort. We appreciate all that you've done to pave the way. A big time receiver. I use you as a tremendous example of a guy. You know, wasn't a 5-star guy, but was a really good player. Came in, got a chance to get on the field early as a starter, as a true freshman, started 11 games, made a bunch of plays, and just grew each and every year in the program. And, I mean, you know, was a first-round draft pick. And to me, that we had back-to-back first-rounders. And, I mean, a guy like you, man, it's great to see good guys actually get rewarded because, you know, you went through a lot here at Maryland, but you always put it on the line. So, again, I want to thank you. I hear her. She's getting a little red. All right, Coach
Locks,
my daddy needs to pick me up.
Nah, she over there with her mom, but you can hear her. She loud like my mom, so.
Well, man, I appreciate you coming on. Miss Cookie, thank you for all you guys did for Maryland, and I look forward. When you get a break, you know you're always welcome back here in College Park.
We're going to make a game.
We've got telling Sean the new facility. We've got a pro locker room where when y'all come in and want to work out, you got your own locker in there. Is you can put your stuff in, come train. We got the music studio coming in, barbershop. The new facility is going to be home, man. So feel free if you want to come out, come back up and train in the summer with the fellas. We'll get some good work in.
Hey, speaking of her, she just came back.
Okay, let's
see. So you're going to say bye? You going to say goodbye?
Thank you for letting us have your daddy on for a few minutes. DJ say bye. Former Terp receiver, appreciate you for coming on, man. Best of luck to you as you continue to work through this thing here. And we'll see you soon. Come up and see us.
All right, Coach.
All right, man. DJ Moore, thanks so much. Another, again, I love having opportunities to catch up with a couple of our former Terps, Sean Davis of the Washington Redskins, DJ Moore of the Carolina Panther. Both these guys are going through a little bit of transition, new coaches coming in. But again, what they learned and the things they take from being Terps will definitely help them as they move forward with their pro careers. Again, I want to thank you guys, our listeners, for coming on. always showing us love here. Again, don't get sad. This thing is coming to a close. We've got three more big time shows, Late Night with Lox. Stay tuned. See you Friday, 7 o'clock p.m.